Hey, so welcome to episode 3 of my podcast. I'm here. I'm in good spirits today. So I want to talk about somebody else's problem. this was yesterday. I got some notifications setting off everywhere of everybody addressing one of our favorite rappers. Maybe, maybe not. you know this gentleman from his large and eloquent vocabulary. He likes to get things done expeditiously. And he was on a podcast, not his own, but he was on a podcast and decided to get really deep about something that is kind of questionable. So, I have to find the name of these ladies' podcast. I'm gonna try and look for that. But, man, there's so much to unpack with this. I don't even know what or where I'm gonna go or what I'm gonna do. Because, I mean, I might not even have the words to get through this podcast. So, let's just get into what he was talking about, because girl or boy or anyone, it was just too much for me. So he was on a podcast with a couple of ladies. I don't remember their names. I'm so sorry. I will do better as time goes on with these types of things. But he was on a podcast, and it wasn't his own, but he went on. And I don't know what the conversation was originally about or how they got onto this topic, but they were talking about family, his family, and he decided to mention and actually boast about the fact that he goes with his daughter to the gynecologist for the purpose of making sure she's still a virgin. I know. I mean, what? Like, what is that about? I have my own thoughts about that, and I'll get into them in a second, but I'll give you a little more details. So, he's on this podcast, and I heard his whole side of what he does, which was, he said, every year I go with her to the gyno and make sure that her hymen is intact. Remember, he has to use those big words to show he knows how to use the dictionary and reads a lot, I guess. Sorry, T.I.F. I just have to get it because that's what he does. Anyway, he said that the ladies, they were like, whoa, wow. They laughed it off. Like, they laughed about it, but they continue to question him, like, how do you do that, and when do you do that, and doesn't the doctor say anything? So he goes into detail about, you know, his mission to find out that his daughter's not having sex. So he goes and he says, so every year when her birthday comes around, you know, after her birthday, we'll be having dinner or whatever, and I'll go and get a sticky note and write gyno on it, and I'll put it down so that she could see it. Now, you know, I'm paraphrasing this, right? So anyway, he says he puts down a sticky note for her to see, and it says gyno. So she knows that appointment is coming. And every year he goes in the office with her, and he talks to the doctor, and he says, you know, so doc, can you look and you tell me, you know, what is everything intact down there? He said the doctor talks about the daughter's right to have privacy, pretty much. And he says to the daughter, well, is there anything that you don't want me to know? And she says, no. And the doctor goes on and gives him the information that he wants. So, as I said, as he's talking about this, it's almost let me use a big word, it was in a braggadocious manner. He was very proud of the fact that he does this. And for me, I'm not sure what he is trying to prove. What are you trying to prove by saying, one, that your daughter's still a virgin, telling everybody, you know, it's not, obviously not a bad thing. It's actually, you know, I won't give my opinion on that specifically, but it's not a bad thing, but that's her private business. That's her private medical information. You know, if, you know, just aside from the fact that it's her dad in her business like that, and that is her dad, so there's some things, you know, where some people say, you know, he's being a parent, and, you know, maybe, but I say that to me is super weird. The interview was very, like, loud from there on. The interviewers, the ladies, laughed about it, but they kept asking questions like, what are you going to do now? Now everybody knows, and now, you know, but I can't imagine being his daughter, and who knows how she feels. She might, you know, laugh it off like, oh, that's my dad. He just does things like that. But I know I would be mortified. Like, do not talk about me and what I do and what I don't do. Please, not. You're famous, and you're, so many people can hear this about me and know she's in college. I know I can't speak for her, but she has to have some form of embarrassment or humiliation from this. That's one level of it. The fact that he's telling her business, you know, out loud online for millions to hear. But the other level is that, what do you think of this behavior? Like, is, to me, it's a little controlling. I mean, she is 18. She's in college. If you haven't, you know, let the reins loose a little bit by then, I mean, you should, if anything, you know, let her start figuring life out in college. That's what it's for. I asked my friends about how they felt about this, and everybody pretty much agreed in my, you know, my groups, that this is kind of a strange, it's strange to do that as a father and a daughter, to, for the father to go and say, you know, I need to know if you're a virgin, let's go check. That's very, like, prehistoric. I don't know. It's getting me, I'm at a loss for words sometimes because of it. And I just heard about it yesterday, so. But on one hand, I feel like it's downright, like, we can go all the way to say that it's a toxic behavior. And it's not only that he is putting himself in a position of control and dominance over her. She, like I said, she's 18. She may not be, like, in mind. She may not be an adult. But legally, she is an adult. She should have a little bit of an autonomy, in order to figure those types of things out. Like, figure out what to do, what you need from appointments, making your own appointments, and speaking to your doctor about what your needs are, asking questions, and finding out information from a professional. You know, I remember back in my day, I used to be embarrassed when, and it would be my mom that would go to those appointments with me, I would be embarrassed with certain questions that they would ask, and the providers would even ask, you know, do you mind that your mom's here, or do you want me to talk to you? And eventually the doctors even start asking the parent to leave the room. I have kids, and my daughter, who's about to be 11, her doctor asked me, you know, if I could go out the room or stand by the door for a second. And that gives a chance to say, no, a chance for the child to be open, for them to ask certain things about their changing bodies. And you know, the doctor actually did talk to me afterwards and say, you know, I gave her this information. I gave her that, you know, I asked if you were having these talks with her, and she said you did, and you're giving her a lot of good information. So I just wanted to let you know, because she said it was okay, and so on and so forth. At the end of the day, my daughter was the one who had, you know, she had a little bit of autonomy and said, you know, she felt like a big girl. She was able to say, you know, why are certain things happening, and not feel afraid to ask these things, because your mom, your overbearing parent is there and will assume certain things about you. But I just don't know. I just don't know. I know, because I work in the health field, I know that there are laws against the sharing of medical information, and there's things that you would have to sign off on and things like that. So it's different when you're dealing with a teenager or somebody under the age of 18, but once somebody turns 18, the HIPAA laws will be in place. A parent is a guarantor for their child up until the age of 18. So that means that parent is in charge of them. They have to make the payments, the medical payments for any fees. So they're legally in charge of that child, and information most likely will go to that parent. But once they're 18, they're supposed to switch over, and the child, the patient, the adult child is supposed to be able to have their own privacy laws. I know everybody, or most people, have heard of HIPAA. And that's just saying that you can't share information unless it's your information. You cannot receive information unless it's your information. So it almost is like a coercion of her medical information, because he placed himself in that room with her. You know, he probably gave her a look like, you know, you're not hiding anything, are you? That's exactly what he said in the interview. And that can be intimidating as a child with a parent that seems to, let's just say, you know, maybe he does that. Maybe he has that parent look. You know, that look that your parent gives you, and you know you better be good. Maybe, you know, that doesn't go away when you turn 18. You still get that feeling, like, especially if you have a parent that is, you know, I'm not going to say overbearing, but if you have a parent that is dominant like that and is just kind of somebody that has that, let me see, I need T.I.'s dictionary, somebody that has that sense of intimidation over you, you don't grow out of that. So it could be that she agreed to it because he was there and there was no chance for her to say really no. If she, no, I don't want you to know about what my privacy is doing. And honestly, I think the doctor should have taken his, the doctor should have asked T.I. to leave the room. And this has happened with me. This has happened with, in the past, when my mother was alive, I would bring her to an appointment and they would ask me to leave her daughter. She'd be like, oh, that's my daughter. Like, she can hear what's going on with me. They would ask me to leave to make sure that, you know, she's safe and not being abused at home. You know, they asked that question, are you safe at home? You know, did you, did, are you okay? Is that person okay for us to talk to? And there's actually things that you have to sign too in order to receive some information. But and every appointment I've been to with somebody else, they usually make the person leave for a few seconds and say, are you okay at home? Is there any concerns? They don't come out and say, are you being abused? But they ask, are you okay at home? And here's a phone number if you need to get out of that situation. So these things are concerning just because of what it deals with specifically. It deals with her body as a young woman and her sexuality as a young woman. And the fact that T.I. feels like that is like his, that his daughter belongs to him. And I'm not, we don't put words in people's mouth, but if you feel that you have to go with an 18-year-old to make sure something is something that is possibly going to be part of their lives is not happening, is something that you should actually be talking about healthy sexuality with your child and what to do to stay safe. You know, what if he prevents, in that appointment, he prevents her from getting on birth control and learning about the right forms of birth control, whether she's, you know, active or not? What if he's, you know, interrupting that process? What if she, because things happen, in especially in college, what if something happens and she's not equipped for it, and he's in the middle of her appointment and she's not getting her you know, the medical assistance that she needs? And it's not really funny. It's just that I don't know. It's awe-inducing, I guess. I don't know. I really don't understand. And I don't know how many times I'm going to say I don't know, but I don't understand what makes that okay. I know my father, when I was that age, he was like hands off. Like it was like, oh, women stuff. Oh, okay. I'm here for you, kid, but talk to your mom. So, you know, I don't feel that kind of situation is healthy. But yeah, so we'll talk about it a little more and I'll get back to letting you guys know a little information that I found just on points about virginity checking and a little bit of information on weird family dynamics. I'll be right back. Hello, so I am back, and so I gathered a little bit more information on the break. So the podcast in question is Ladies Like Us, by Nazanin Mandi and Nadia Moham. Excuse me if I'm mispronouncing those names. Nazanin, I heard of her before. She was on a video with Jeannie Mai from The Real, the show, talking about body dysmorphia and things like that. So it seems, I'm not really sure the premise of the podcast, but it seems like they're gonna be talking about women's issues and things like that. And Nazanin, I believe, I just found out she is Miguel, the singer's wife, which is awesome for them. So since I started my last part of my podcast, the recording had been taken down, and you know, I guess they realized that it was problematic as well, what T.I. was saying. I listened to his part of the recording a little bit more, And it was even worse the second time around. You know, because he talks about a part where he's talking to the doctor and he's like, you know what, doc, give me my results. And I am like, that is a whole other person aside from you. And it is her results if she wanted them. He also talked about how the doctor mentioned that intercourse is not the only thing that can break a hymen or change the shape of it, and there's different things like being active in sports, horseback riding, biking, and I think some people say gymnastics, things like that, that can do the same thing. And sometimes you can be active and it stretches and does not tear, so it's not really a good way of, it's not medically relevant. I also came across an article by the UN talking about how this is done, you know, across the world. It's actually done sometimes before women go to get married to try and confirm things, and, it's just horrible. It's and according to the UN, it's a human rights violation, which I agree with. It's not anybody's business, or, you know, it's not medically necessary. It does not help anybody to do anything of any importance in the world. It's claiming this woman, this girl, as somebody's property, and nobody likes it. So the other thing that came up, which I said I would talk about, was the fact that T.I., this is not his first, like, problematic, issue. Wait, that doesn't make sense. But anyway, this is not the first time he has been problematic. He is problematic in a lot of his views. He has some things that he comes out and says, and it's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense, and he's very smart. But then, the way he interacts with his family, you know, is he toxic? And that's the question of the day. Like, we're going to talk about toxic family members. We know that he has been, he has some infidelities with his wife, Tiny. We know that they almost got divorced, but they got back together. And he and she actually started a podcast themselves, excuse me, which I mentioned before. And on that podcast, it seems like she can't even get a word in. I wish I had some audio from that. But you kind of notice some of the behaviors that he has when he's talking to his wife, or there'll be a question that they're saying, and she's not allowed to completely gather and relay her thoughts. He will talk over her, he'll interrupt her, and, you know, I don't see him doing that to other interviewers or whenever he's in media. I don't see him over talking people like that. And, you know, over talking people is not something that is like, oh yeah, that's the diagnosis, he's toxic, he's this, he's that. But it's something that is a red flag for somebody that is toxic. I've seen other parts of their show, like clips of their show, where Tiny is trying to give her opinion about how their kids should be raised or something, something about the kids, and he'll cut everybody off and say, nope, this is the way we're gonna do it, and it doesn't matter if anybody gets hurt, they have to know that that's the way. And yeah, we know a lot of parents like that. Just thinking about a lot of people across the interwebs, you know, wrote about this and asked people's opinions. And there's a lot of people that said, oh no, well, that's his daughter, he can do what he wants and this and that and these and those. And I'm kind of like, still, she's an adult child, like, of his, so he doesn't have a right over her body. So, you know, but there's some people out there that were like, that either agreed with him or said it was okay. And I think a lot of people are like that because they probably grew up in the same type of environment where, you know, you don't get to have a say in your life until you're much more grown. I guess, like, when do you get to be grown, you know? And where's the line? Where do you draw the line? So I wanted to, I didn't prepare, but I brought over some information from Psych Central, an article there, and I'm not saying it word for word, I'm paraphrasing it, but this article came from Psych Central, and you can look it up on there, and if you just look up toxic or signs of toxic family members, and I'm just gonna go through the ones that they had 15 signs, and I'll go through those and you can tell me what you think. If you think he displays any of those, I'll let you come up with your own idea about that. So it says, the way you to know somebody's toxic, if they're self-centered or they lack empathy. Usually your feelings don't matter, it's only how things affect them, that the next one is that they're disrespectful. So this can be something like embarrassing you, they don't have respect for your privacy, they don't have respect for just you in general. They might say things in a way that's not nice, but they are or can be emotionally reactive. Anything can send them over the top, and you might find yourself walking on eggshells around them to try and keep them from reacting. Controlling, they have all the say and you don't. They can tell you what to do and try and make you do what they want you to do. And the next one is they can be angry, and this can be shown as aggression, or it can be passive aggressive where they're just like, well, I'll just do it myself then, whatever. We've heard parents say that, so don't think like you have one sign and then it's like, oh my gosh. They can be critical, overly critical. Like, why can't you do anything right? Or you got a C, why couldn't you get a B? You got a B, why couldn't you get an A? They can be manipulative. And there's a whole bunch of... I have to do a whole other podcast for that. Manipulations can be used in so many different ways. It can be just somebody saying, oh, well, if you don't do this, you don't love me. Or it can be a whole mind game. So we'll get into that in another episode. It's blaming, or most people hear the word blame shifting. So this is apparent in a lot of people. And it's when you notice like somebody does something wrong and they can't take responsibility for it. Like, oh yeah, you know what? I was wrong. It's always... well, this happened, so I couldn't do the right thing, or, you know, like, my job didn't like me, so they fired me. Now I don't have money, and I can't pay you back. It's not my fault. It's the job's fault. They didn't like me. Yeah. The next one is that they can be demanding. I don't think that needs extra explanation. They can be demanding. Maybe I'm just too demanding. they can be embarrassing. We know what I was just talking about. Mm-hmm. They can be cruel. Boundaryless. I think this one's very important because boundaries can be broken in a whole bunch of different ways as well. But if you think about it, think about a boundary like, I don't want you to come in my room while I'm getting dressed. That's a boundary. And, you know, people can have that boundary. But what about a different boundary? I don't want you to, let's see. I don't want you to talk about me to my friends. That's a boundary. And it can be broken. Or if it's family-wise, don't talk about things I tell you to my aunt because it's between me and you as my parent. That can be a boundary that can be broken, and they can go and tell the whole rest of the family your business. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of different ways that you can break boundaries, and it can be physical boundaries, and it can be boundaries in the way you want to be treated. Next one is called enmeshed. So enmeshment is, this one does need a little bit of explanation because not everybody knows what this one is. Enmeshment is a little bit different. It's like you have a family member, or it could be a parent, that is so involved with you. They want to be your best friend, and this is also kind of a way of breaking a boundary. The boundary between a parent and a child is not there. They might be talking to you about things like relationships and love and stuff that is like kind of inappropriate between an adult and a child. They might have a feeling that they can't do anything or live without the child in question, even as an adult child. So there's a whole layer of that. And if anything in this podcast is like, if you want any more information, believe me, you can contact me and I will try and get more information on that or do more of a podcast on like these specific topics. But anyway, moving on. Another sign is that they can be competitive. So competitive is like one-upsmanship. I don't think that's a word either, but if you have somebody like, oh, I just graduated college, and they're like, oh well, I have my master's degree. Okay, you know, we have family members that can be like that. Oh, I just got a car. What kind of car is it? Oh, it's a Chevy. Oh well, I just got an Infiniti. I just got a Volkswagen. I don't know. And it's brand new, and yours is used. You know, it's a competitive. Like, we're family, and we're both doing well. Why do you have to do that? And the last sign is that you feel a certain way after you deal with them. You feel drained from dealing with them, or even knowing that you have to deal with them. It just takes away all your energy. And because if you think about all these things I mentioned before this one, that is emotionally draining. But that's a sign that if you know that you're going to deal with somebody, like I said, it could be a family member, a friend, and your energy is just like, oh, now I have to go see dad, I got to go see mom, I got to go see my uncle. That's when you should know that this person is probably toxic to you. So I saw a few signs. Did you? Let me know. Send me a voicemail. You can send me a voicemail through the Anchor app. You can go to my website, and that is melissajonesconsulting.com. I have an area there where you can send me an email and you can reply to this podcast. I was checking some things off that TI actually showed, so let me know. what you think. Hopefully you enjoy this podcast. This one was kind of, it was a lot. So let me know what you think, like I said, and thank you for listening.